4 days in a row that are coming up in the next couple of days, that each one of them has an issur malacha connected to it, but the names of the particular issur malacha are very, very different from one another. So we'll try to use this a little bit of as a springboard to talk about the term malacha. Yesterday we spoke about the term achila, so today we'll talk a little bit about the term malacha. 4 days in a row, one is the din of malacha on Erev Pesach, one is the din of malacha, of course, on Shabbos, one is the din of malacha on Yontif, and one is the din of malacha on Chol Hamoed. We'll try to get a little bit of a background as to some of the comparisons and differences between these different types of Issur Malacha. So we'll start with probably the lowest, in the sense of the lowest level of Issur Malacha. That's this malacha on Erev Pesach. So the Mishnah in the beginning of the fourth Perek of Pesachim breaks down the day of Erev Pesach into two categories, before Chatzos and after Chatzos. That's a very familiar breakdown in terms of the day of Erev Pesach. And the Mishnah tells us that Erev Pesach after Chatzos, there's a real bona fide Issur Malacha, there's a real Issur of Malacha, whereas on Erev Pesach before Chatzos, so then the Issur Malacha is only b'teres minig. It depends on the minig ha-malchim. If you live in a place where the minig is not to do Malacha on Erev Pesach, even in the morning, you should follow that minig ha-malchim. If you live in a place where the minig is lawful, so then you can follow that minig as well. But after Chatzos, everybody agrees there's a real bona fide Issur Malacha. Where did this Issur Malacha come from? What's this all about? Why is there an Issur Malacha b'chlal on Erev Pesach? So the Machlokes Rashi and Tosfos, what the source of this Issur Malacha? So Rashi explains that the reason why Chazal instituted, it's not a din min haTorah, the reason why Chazal instituted an Issur Malacha on Erev Pesach after Chatzos Medina and before Chatzos as the Torah's Minhag, is because people are very, very busy in Erev Pesach. Supposed to be doing the tzarchei yom. You got to finish baking your matzahs. Got to finish, make sure, get rid of your chametz. Got to make sure your house is clean. Make sure your kasha kit, whatever you do, it. A lot of things to do on Erev Pesach. So the guy's going to go to work on Erev Pesach. He's not going to get a chance to take care of all the tzarchei yom. So therefore, midrabbanan, they made a special list of malacha on Erev Pesach after chatzos, and then some committed the Torah's minig before chatzos, just to make sure that everybody is done with all the proper Pesach preparations. So this is Rashi's spin on the Issur Malacha. So the Rabbanan, because of that reason. So Tosfos says a whole different thing. Tosfos, in the beginning of the Perek Machshanah, was close to Yerushalmi, where the Yerushalmi says, no, that the Issur Malacha on Erev Pesach is the real Issur D'oraisa. Why is that? Because since a person is bringing a korban, the korban Pesach, whenever you bring a korban, you're not allowed to do Malacha. That's a din min haTorah. It's like a din of a Yom Simcha a little bit. You're not allowed to do Malacha whenever you bring a korban. Man Hazeh, Tosfos writes, obviously, we don't bring a korban Pesach, so the Issur Malacha today was still kept intact mid the Rabbanon, but in the olden days, it was based on the Mikdash HaKayim, it was the real Issur D'oraisa. The Rishalmi understood that there's such a real bona fide Issur Malacha on the day that a person brings a korban, that the Rishalmi raised the question, how come we're allowed to go to work ever? Said we bring Kabbalahs all the time. We bring Kabbalah Tamid. Kabbalah Tamid is paid for by the Tzibor. So it's as if every person is bringing a Kabbalah every single day. So why isn't there an Issur Malacha all the time? So the Rishami thinks and thinks and thinks. And it was a happening in the Rishami, how are you going to work? Kamash Blan is, no, you're not going to work. Why? It's a Mati of the Safta to go to work. You see that the Torah says you're allowed to go to work. The Torah gives us that to go to work. Notwithstanding the fact that the same Torah told us to bring a Kabbalah Tamid. So you see from here that the Kabbalah Sikhasa is a Mati. But if you don't have that mat, if you don't have the pasuk v'saf to the ganecha, so we're nachidami. So you're not allowed to go to work. And therefore, on Erev Pesach, when you bring your korban, you don't have a mat to go to work. So now there's this malacha. The Shagas Aryeh quotes this Tosfos and suggests that maybe that's the reason why the Gemara sounds in Maseches Megillah is an issur malacha on Rosh Chodesh. Rosh Chodesh. The Gemara says in Maseches Megillah that the reason why we have four aliyahs on Rosh Chodesh is because we don't mind staying in shul a little bit later because nobody's going to work anyway. The Chol Hamoed and Rosh Chodesh, so Chazal were able to up it up a little bit an extra aliyah because no one's in a big rush to get to work because these are days that people generally don't work. Whoever heard of people not working on Rosh Chodesh? Well, what's that all about? So Rashi and Tosfos write in the Maseches Megillah that the Gemara is referring to what it says in the Pirkei Rabbi Elazar that women are not supposed to do malacha in Rosh Chodesh. That women accepted upon themselves the Rosh Chodesh as a separate special yomta for women. So that's what the Gemara meant when it says there's an issur malacha. So of course that's a very, very difficult pshat. So how does that explain why we have extra aliyahs in shul? The Gemara is saying that there's no bittul malacha l'rabim because people can stay in shul for longer because no one's in a big rush to go to work. But according to Rashi and Tosfos pshat, the men are going to work, it's just that the women are not going to work. So what's the Gemara talking about? What the Gemara is talking about? The women's minyanim. It's talking about the women have to make the extra aliyahs. That's what the Gemara is talking about. So what does the Gemara mean? So the Chavrut of Rashi and Tosfos is that The men can stay in shul a little bit longer because the women are more relaxed. When the women have to go off to work, they know they have a whole day of chores to do. And the men know they got to get home in time from shul. But if they know that the wives are on vacation anyway, so then they can stay in shul a little bit later. I always know that on legal holidays, my wife usually doesn't work, so I can stay in shul, can trace the chumrah in shul a few minutes later. If my wife is running to get to the office, then I have to run to get home from shul also. So the stuff, that's what Rashi says. So the Shagas Aryeh, somehow, he didn't drive carpool to Shagas Aryeh, so he didn't understand that. So the Shagas Aryeh says, no, he thinks that the Pshat in the Gemara is that the Yisra Malacha on Rish Chodesh is Ke'ein the Yisra Malacha on Erev Pesach. Just like on Erev Pesach, when you bring a korban, you're not allowed to do Malacha min HaTorah. So too, every korban tabit should have created an Yisra Malacha, but the Torah was mafia. So the Shagas Aryeh says, V'safti Genecha is 29 days a month, on the 30th day. The special korban musaf that's brought, so we don't have a source to be matrit. So the starting point is, there's an Yisra Malacha, that starting point is no one's ever allowed to go to work because there's a carbon being brought on your behalf. So the Torah chisels away at that and says, okay, the Talmud doesn't create an Yisra, but the carbon Musaf is still being carbon, I mean. So that's the nature of the Yisra Malacha on Rosh Chodesh, according to the Shagas Aryeh. So that wouldn't apply with Zman HaZeh. So that was true with Zman HaMikdash. So apparently, according to the Shagas Aryeh, even though the Isra of Malach and Erev Pesach, which also really doesn't apply with Zman HaZeh, they have to kept over, whereas Rosh Chodesh, they didn't. Some of the reason is because it's Gzeresh and Tzibuchot Lama. It's hard to tell people to take an extra day off from work every month. Tell people to take off one afternoon a year is not so terrible. You tell people to take off every month, it's a hard Gzeresh, some of the Rabbanim, they never instituted that. But at least the Zman Shabbos HaMikdash HaKayim, the Shagas Aryeh claims that the Yisra Malacha of Rosh Chodesh is the Malacha of Erev Pesach. If the Chatzos is Ke'ein, it's basically the same Yisra. The Mishnas Yaakov suggests that that's the nature of the Yisra Malacha and Chol HaMoed also. Also, we find the strange Yisra Malacha and Chol HaMoed. Where does that come from? So everyone tumbles into the rice and the bun. We'll talk about it for a little bit when we get further on. So the Mishnas Yaakov thinks he has a compromise. He thinks the Pshar is that sometimes Malacha and Chol HaMoed is the rice and sometimes it's the Rabbanon. If you choose to bring your karbanos that day, you don't have to bring karbanos every day of Chol HaMoed. You can bring your Alas Riya Shamachi. You can bring everything at the beginning of Yom Tov and call it a week and go home. But if you choose to pick the third day of Chol HaMoed to go to the Beis HaMikdash, to do a little regal, so for you it becomes an Issa Malacha Medaraisa. So that's what the Mishkas Yaakov writes in the Tshuva. He thinks that the Issa Malacha and Chol HaMoed is also rooted in the same idea. It's also karbanos. It's also Beis HaMikdash driven. Like Erev Pesach, like Rosh Chodesh, like Chol HaMoed, these are all Yisur Malacha that don't emanate from the Zman itself, they emanate from the HaKorbas HaKorban. So the Zman Shabbos HaMikdash HaKayim, for the people who bring Karbonos, they're not allowed to do Malacha Min HaTorah. And now the Rabbanan extended and said, since the time that a lot of people are bringing Karbonos, so in deference to everyone else, so we're going to all observe one big Yisur Malacha together. But again, the Yisur Malacha is basically rooted in Beis HaMikdash, and therefore, according to the Mishkan Yaakov, Malachas Chol HaMoed Bezman HaZeh is only in the Rabbanan, just as Malachas Rosh Chodesh Bezman HaZeh is not the Rais, and just as Malach and Erev Pesach, if the Chatzos is not the Rais either. So getting back to Erev Pesach story, so Bein Lefi Rashi, Bein Lefi Tosfos, there is a din that you're not allowed to do Malacha on Erev Pesach in the afternoon. But in the morning, Mikra did its mutter. It depends on Makom Shenagu. So it's in this Mishnah, the name of the parak is Makom Shenagu, the fourth parak of Pesachim, where the Mishnah and the Gemara develops all the kolam of what are the dinim if a person comes from one place and goes to another place. So Kolzman that I'm in my makom, so then there's a dinim in Hagia Tzibra, binding on all the members of the community. But what if I live in New York and I'm going to California? I live in California, going to Shalem. People are traveling in different places, so do they have to observe the Minhagi HaMachom where they were, where they are, where they're going to be? What exactly is the klal? So it's in this sugya that the Gemara develops all the klal. So basically, the klal is that a person is required to follow both the Minhagim, Bein Lechumra, Bein Lechumra. It means you have to follow the Chumras of the place, Sheyatze Misham, and the Chumras of the place, Shehalach Lasham. You have to follow the place, the Minhag HaMachom where you are, Lechumra, because otherwise you can make a machlokes. If everybody else is not doing malach and you're going to come in and open up your circuit, you're going to come in and do malach in front of everybody, that's going to be a problem. So you have to be careful not to draw attention. You have to do it. You shouldn't create a machlokes. So the fact that you're bound by the minhagim of the place where you are, that's partial. Why are you bound by the minhagim of where you came from? Because you're still from there. You're still part of that tzibur. What could create a change in that tzibur status if you're daito, ain't daito lachzor? Let's say I used to live in New York, and now I move. So I pack up my whole bags, I sell my house, and I move to California, then I'm not a Ben New York anymore. So if I'm not a Ben New York anymore, then I'm not bound by the Minhagim. So when the Mishnah says that those who are Mchubri HaMokom, Shaholach Misham, The Gemara qualifies that to say that's with Medrav Rav Huma, it's Daita Lachzor. If it's Ein Daita Lachzor, then of course you become part of the new Tzibur that you join up to. But if it's Taka Daita Lachzor, then of course the din is you mechuyav to follow the Minhagim of the previous place as well. So it's based on this Mishnah in Maseches Pesachim that Ruba the Paiskim for hundreds and thousands of years all said that when you have something such as Yantav Sheni Shogolius, Bisban Azeh, the Gemara says, Aloshan Hizaru B'minigav Eseichem. The Gemara says that they raised the question at the beginning of when they set up the calendar, right before they set up the calendar, so they realized that a lot of people who live in Chutzlar, so they didn't know what Mishnah Yiddish is. So why do you have to observe Yantav Sheni for? So the B'nai Bavel Taka were wondering, should we still observe Yantav Sheni now which Yiddish is? Should we still observe Yantav Sheni? So they sent the Shad to the B'nai Eretz Yisrael. To Paskin. So the Gemara says in the beginning of Maseches Beitzah, Shalchan Itam, they sent back a response, Yizor b'minig av Yiseichem. You still have to observe the minig of us. You still have to observe the minig of Yantav Sheni. So there's Machlekes and Yishayim. What exactly does that mean? Yizor b'minig av Yiseichem. So Tosfos took the Gemara Mamash literally, that as a status of a minig, that Yantav Sheni b'zman hazeh, as a status, not a suffix of ice anymore, as a status of a minig, you still have to observe it. Doesn't mean you don't have to observe it. The Rambam writes that if you have been hugging at Tzibur, you have been hugging of Klal Yisrael, so the Rambam writes those are binding midaraisa, that's included in Los Osor. So when the Beis Din HaGadol tells you, or the Beis Din of Ravina Rav Ashi, give the stamp of approval and say that all people who live in Chutz Lars have to observe this minig of Yantav Sheni, so that that becomes binding on us midaraisa. If the person doesn't observe that, there's a violation of Los Osor, Adavash Hagil Chayyam Min Usmol. So we're not minimizing it, we're calling it a minig. The halacha takes on the status and the parameters of Hilchos Minhagim. That's why Tosfos has a whole diyun. If it's only a minig, how can we make a bracha on it? So does that indicate we make brachas on Minhagim? And Tosfos book is a long Tosfos in Sukkah about how we make it Alechim Matzah, Alechim Smara, how do we make all brachas on Dichas HaMitzvahs on Minhagim? Does this shed some light on the general topic of brachas on Minhagim? Because Tosfos took the Gemara literally that Yantav Sheni has the halachic status of a minig. Well, the Ran in Maseches Sukkah disagrees with Tosfos. The Ran says that the Lashon Gemara was loved after. When the Gemara says Yizor b'minig av Yiseichem, the Gemara didn't mean the halachic term minig. The word minig just means to be nayig. It means to practice. Yizor b'minig av Yiseichem means keep on doing what your forefathers have been doing, what they've been nohig, so to speak, colloquially being nohig, as a formal takanas achavim. According to the Ran, there was official Moshe based in that instituted a formal mitzvah with the Rabbanon to observe Yantav Sheni Shogolius. Therefore, the Ran says the fact that we recite brachas on matzah on the second night of Pesach is no different than making a bracha when you light Chanukah candles, when you read the Megillah. It's a bracha, a mitzvah, midrabanan. It's not a minute. It's a mitzvah, a real bona fide mitzvah, midrabanan. So that's the machlokes. So many of the posts can say that if you look at Yantav Sheni through the eyes of minig, like a simple reading of the Gemara, then it's davar pashut that you have to apply the sugyas of Makom Shenagu. The sugyas of Makom Shenagu are, let's say a person still lives in Makom Plod. I still live in New York, and now I go to California, and they have different minhagim there. So I calls man that I haven't been Oikei D'Rasi, calls man that I haven't moved out of New York. Even though I'm in California, I'm bound by the minhagim of New York. I shouldn't do it in a way that draws tremendous attention, that makes machlokes in California, but I'm for sure it's binding on me to follow the minhagim of New York. That's what the Beis Yosef writes in the Tshuva, and Afkas Reichel, he quotes the Tshuva, that was the standard practice. Nobody ever questioned this in Eretz Yisrael. They served in Eretz Yisrael in the 1500s. So he's saying that it was every Yom Tov, there were some people from Chutz Lotz used to come. Why did people come? What were they coming to Eretz Yisrael for? They didn't come for a week to Eretz Yisrael. They would come for months on end. So people would come to visit Kvarim. The Beis Yosef writes in the Tshuva. People from Europe, from Turkey, whatever they would come from Egypt, they would come to Shlepsach to Eretz Yisrael. They would stay for months on end. They would visit Kvarim. They'd go see the Mekamas HaKadoshim, whatever they would do, in Eretz Yisrael. So the Beis Yosef writes that all of these people, there were apparently more than one or two of them. There were a bunch of them. The Beis Yosef was familiar with them. He saw them. Many of them probably were hanging out in Tzfat over Yom Tov. So the Beis Yosef writes that the minig always had been that these people observed the Yom Tov Sheni Shogolius. And the reason for it is obvious, because even though you're in Eretz Yisrael, the minig, quote unquote, is not due, because in Eretz Yisrael there never was a need for such a minig, because Eretz Yisrael, they always knew when Rosh Chodesh was. So if you're coming from Turkey, you come from Egypt, you're coming from Russia, you're coming to spend a few months in Eretz Yisrael, at Daito Al-Aqsa, you're planning on going back eventually, you left your family behind, you're not planning on staying forever, so since you're planning on going back, So that's considered to be still binding the minhagim amakom shere yotzei misham. That was what the Beis Yosef writes. That was the minhag pashut in Eretz Yisrael for hundreds of years. Established since the days of the Chachmei Gemara. We don't anywhere any rishon that says anything to the contrary to this minhag the Beis Yosef was made on. And then there was a das yochid in Amsterdam, the Chacham Tzvi came up with the chiddush that he thought that maybe yontif sheni is different. Maybe yontif sheni is a type of a minhag that you can't apply this rule of keeping the minhag amakom shere yotzei misham. My high manishtana yontif sheni. He writes that when it makes sense to follow a previous minhag in a new place, that's when the new place could have had such a minhag. It's possible. The Gemara discusses in the Maseches Chulin that there were some places that had a minhag to be machmir about a certain kasher shabbos. Other places in Eretz Yisrael they would make above the machmir, whatever the details were. But those have nothing to do with Eretz Yisrael above. Though. It happened to be in the Rabbanim and Eretz Yisrael paskin one way, the Rabbanim and Babel paskin another way. It just happened coincidentally to become a minhag hamakom here, a minhag hamakom there. But what if you would have a type of a minhag that would be inappropriate to observe here? We couldn't observe here, even if we would have wanted to observe here. So let's say, for example, the minhag of Yontif Sheni. Imagine if all the Rabbanim and Eretz Yisrael would get together and say, all Bnei Eretz Yisrael, we think it's a good idea to observe Yontif Sheni. You're not allowed to do that. That would be Baal Tosef. You're not allowed to add on a day of Yontif for no reason. If Nebuch here, Chutzlaris, what's the stake of the Yomus, you have no choice. And then Chazal has no choice, the hands were tied, they had to add on the day of Yom Hashani. But if you know what Rish Chodesh is, just stop the Chachil and add on a new day. That's a minig betos. It's a minig that's this, or you're not allowed to do that. Would be a violation of Baltaisim. So Chacham Tzvi writes, when you have a type of a minig that's not Teifis in Eretz Yisrael, so then if right now I'm in Eretz Yisrael, so what do I have to observe this minig for right now? I become like the Vinay Eretz Yisrael. There's no such thing as following the Hagam Makam Shreds. So that was a suggestion that the Chacham Tzvi gave. But it was never accepted. That view was never accepted. All the poskim before him and during his time and after his lifetime, nobody really accepted that view. It was always a das yochid. Some strange reason, in the last 30 years, all of a sudden everyone rediscovered Chacham Tzvi and changed the minhag Yisrael that has been around for 1,500 years. Very, very strange. The Pashtun Dvarim is like Ruba, the Gedalia poskim in the world today, both in Eretz Yisrael and in America, all say we should follow what the correct din is. The correct din is to follow 2 days of Yom Tov, Kula, Bein Lechumra, for all those Bnei Chutz Laaretz who happen to find themselves in Eretz Yisrael. Sometimes you have people, Bezman Hazeh, who live in two places. It's a different story. Then you have to figure out whether you're really truly a Ben Eretz or Ben Chutz Laaretz. So there may be certain criteria that maybe you could you could define a person as being someone almost who lives in both places. That would be a different status, okay? So then you have to look carefully in the Gedolei Poskim to figure out what some of those criteria are. But just stop to walk into the sugya saying that I hold a Chacham Tzvi. You never heard of the Chacham Tzvi. No one follows the Chacham Tzvi. No one ever followed the Chacham Tzvi. It's a very, very strange thing that's developed over the years. It's not the Ruba, the Gedolei Poskim are not in favor of this new phenomenon that has developed over the years. Okay. Anyway, getting back to the story. So the Isur Melacha on Erev Pesach so are either b'Toras Isur Deraisa, according to Tosfos, but not a Mikdash, or according to Rashi, Isur Derabanan, or before Chatzos, b'Toras Minhag. Then we move on to the next Isur Melacha. It happens to be that this year we have a real super duper Isur Melacha. We have Shabbos and Yontif rolled into one, so it's hard to get more Isur Melacha than that. So obviously, Shabbos is going to take over Yontif. And so there are going to be certain things that are normally permitted to be done on Yontif that one is not permitted to do this year on the first day of Yontif. So one has to be careful about this because there are a couple of things that sometimes people's minds that are Seder preparations that they usually do sometimes right before the Seder, they have to be careful. This year the first Seder is on Friday night, not to do those kinds of activities. So I'll just point out a few highlights of things one has to be extra special careful about this year. So one of the things the post can point out is to make the charoses. We spoke about this. We learned from Masechta Shabbos about Lisha. When you make charoses, so charoses could be a violation of lush. You take apples, chopping the apples could be a violation of toichen. You chop up the apples, then you mix the apples with wine and with nuts and everything. So you're making a pasty, kind of a gooey kind of a thing. That's a potential malach of lush. So the preparation of the charoses could have many, many potential malachas derais involved in. So that should all be done before this year. Should always be done before the Seder. On a regular yomtiv, lisha is permissible. Lisha is one of those that is permissible. The Yushalmi uses the phrase melisha ve'elach. Yushalmi says that which malachas are mutter and yomtiv, which are asar. So the Yushalmi says that even those malachas that are food oriented, if they precede lisha in terms of the course to do with the past, in terms of the preparation of bread, so then those malachas are asar. So let's say, for example, you're not allowed to harvest on Yontif. Let's say I want to harvest my grain on Yontif, that's a problem. I want to pluck an apple off the tree on Yontif to eat it, that's a problem. Certain malachas that take place before the status of Lisha are prohibited. And the Rishami says they're prohibited mid Araisa. How does Rishami know that? So Rishami says it's based on a pasuk about Shmur Matzah. Because it says, Achashay Ochel Lechol Nefesh, Hu Levado Ye Osa Lechem, you're allowed to do malachas Lechol Nefesh in Yontif. And then it says, Ushmat Mesa Matzah. So Rishami says, at what stage you're being Shermi Yamatzahs? Rishami says, obviously, you're only watching Yamatzah, me Lisha Veilach. Before Lisha, there's no water. What are you watching for? You're standing, they're harvesting the grain in Nebraska. What are you looking at? There's no water. What could possibly go wrong? So the Rishami understood that the mitzvah of Shmura, or Shmur Matzah, only begins at the point of Lisha. And therefore, the Rishami said that the Hetter Malacha of Echol Nefesh only kicks in at the point of Lisha as well. So many, many Rishonim disagree with this Rishami, say we don't follow this Rishami, because the Bavli quotes an opinion in Tzachim that Shmur Matzah begins Mishas Ketzira. Hi, there's no water. That's exactly the point. You have to watch it to make sure there's no water. It's a different kind of a shmura. But for Rishami, shmura only makes sense at a time when water is naturally there. According to the day in the Bavli, shmura begins at a time when water is usually not there, and that's exactly what you have to be careful about to make sure the taka water doesn't get in there. So according to the Bavli, it says that shmura is required, even Mishas Ketzir, according to one opinion in the Bavli. That's what that meaning is. That's what it says on the box of the matzahs. You wouldn't want to buy a box that says shmura Mishas Lisha. You wouldn't want a box that says Mishas Ketzir. According to the Bavli, obviously this drasha isn't true. That's what many of the Rishonim, Rambam, Ravid, held that Minatori, you're allowed to pluck an apple on Yontif. You're allowed to harvest your field on Yontif. All the Surim that the Mishnayos and the Gemaras and Beis talk about in terms of early on stages of Malach are all only Yosef Midarabana. Midarai Sataka, everything is considered to be included in Echol Nefesh. But on a regular Yontif, Lamaisa Lisha is Mutter. It's Mutter Midarai, Mutter Midarabana, Lisha is permissible. That's what Yerushalmi coined the phrase, Me Lisha Ve'elah. And once one of my kids came home from school and they had learned something about Yontif, obviously not correctly, and they told me that the Mora said that you're not allowed to bake on Yontif, you're not allowed to knead the dough on Yontif. But I call upon him on Shabbos, obviously you can't do that. So you have to be careful. You make chavrus, you shouldn't make chavrus on Shabbos. Or let's say when you roast the zroa, first likes to roast the zroa, once you roast the seder plate, so you have to be careful to do that obviously before Shabbos starts. On a regular Yom Tov, in theory you can. You would be permitted to roast this or roast the egg on Yom Tov, provided you can eat it on the first day of Yom Tov. So usually it's recommended not to roast this roa on Yom Tov, because you're not going to eat this roa on Yom Tov, because we have a minig not to eat sleep, but they say that's a mishnah in Pesachim, the minig in many places, our minig is not to eat roasted meat at the Seder, so we're not going to eat it anyway. In theory, you can eat it tomorrow. So you can roast it Friday night, you can roast it Yom Tov night, and then eat it the following day. That would be okay. Most people don't like to do that, because they want to use the same zroa for the second night. So they don't want to eat this zroa until the second day lunch, if they can eat it all together. So therefore the post came out, you have to be careful. If you plan on roasting the zroa on a regular Yom Tov night, so you have to just make sure you eat it on that day. You can't cook, you can't roast from one day or Yom Tov to the next day of Yom Tov. So it's probably not such a good idea ever to Yom Tov. But what about, let's say, roasting the egg? So we have a minig, what's a minig? That we roast a little bit, we roast the beitza on the seder plate. Why is that? Because there's one tana that maintained that the Chorma Chagiga has to be roasted. This Machlik is Ben Tema and the Rabbanon. And according to that view of Ben Tema, so the Chagiga has to be roasted just like Korban Pesach. Going down from Korban Pesach. So when the Mishnah says in Sochem that after the Mishnah was destroyed, Chazal made a takhona that you have to have Shnei Tavshilin, you have to have two cooked dishes on the Seder plate. So one of them we use, a standard minig is to use an egg. So the Rambam writes that the minig is to roast the egg a little bit also. Just that should be look a little bit like the mashu, like the Korban Chagiga of Ben Tema's view as well. So if a person wants to roast the egg on Yom Tov, also have to make sure to eat the egg on Yom Tov. But if you're not going to eat it anyway on Yom Tov, so what are you roasting on Yom Tov? So it's probably a good idea anyway to always to do all the roasting, everything before Yom Tov ever, all the time. But this year, you have to be really careful. If you roast it before, obviously it would be awesome in a Torah, you know, how to roast it on Shabbos itself. There is a question in the poskim about preparing the salt water on Friday night. There's a Mishnah in Masech Shabbos that talks about an Issa de Rabbanan of preparing salt water, very heavy, very strong salt water solution on Shabbos. What's wrong with the break salt water on Shabbos? What possibly what malacha is involved? So the Mishnah and the Gemara has a whole discussion about all kinds of saltings of foods and different kinds of intense salting that take place on Shabbos. That's prohibited. Why does it prohibit it? Some Rishonim say because it starts to resemble like bishul, because if you start to salt things and you marinate things and you pickle things, that's kavash kibushul. That looks a little bit like you're cooking on Shabbos. So maybe all these things are considered to be like gezeiros rabban up to cooking, all the different food preservations. And other Rishonim say no, they're yisurim rabban up to made. Mahab it is when you tan leather. So part of the process of producing leather is you take the animal skins and throw them into a big salt solution. So Chazal didn't want you to make salt. They wanted to keep the whole salt making process off limits on Shabbos. And therefore, the Rabbanan, they said you shouldn't make a very, very heavy concentrated solution of salt water. Most of the time, Aramei Melech at the state isn't so concentrated anyway. Sometimes you can barely taste the salt, so it probably wouldn't be a violation of this Isser anyway. So a recommendation, the post came right, when her Pesach falls out on Friday, they just, yeah, you should try to prepare the Mei Melech before. You shouldn't run into any chashash, any shayla. If whatever reason you forgot, you can put a little bit of salt in, but it shouldn't be so heavy, concentrated salt water solution. There's another shayla that comes up this year in terms of the dividing up the matzahs, picking out the proper matzahs, the potential shayla of Beira. Say, I open up the box of matzahs, there's a big mess. I got broken matzahs, whole matzahs, everything's all mixed together. I want to start picking out the matzahs that I want. I want to start moving away the matzahs I don't want. Is that a problem or not? There is those who are with us on the Shabbos. So there is there's a din of borer. Even if everything is edible, there's still a potential problem of borer. If it's what we call shnei minim, let's say have a bowl of peanuts and raisins. Preferably not Pesach night, usually only peanuts. We got peanuts and raisins together, and I want to just take out the peanuts, I want to move away the raisins. Was that called the problem of Beira or not? So the Pashas, that's Machlek, is Rashi, it's the Masech HaShabbos. Rashi seems to say that that's not called Beira altogether. Beira is only when you have an Eichel and a Psolas. So the Taisus quotes from Rabbeinu Chanan, that's also called the Psolas. Why? Even though I really like peanuts, I like raisins also, but right now I don't want the raisins. Right now I only want the peanuts. So what I don't want now is considered to be like Psolas.
Did you borer apply
Yantav
as well?
Or? No, so Borer Mi'ikra is Mutter Yantav. Mi'ikra Din is Mutter Yantav. It's actually Mechlekes HaRishonim, but Mi'ikra Din is... What? Right, even though it's before Lash, right. Even though it's before Lash, it's still probably Mutter. The Mishnah says it's Mutter. So when we learn the Masech Shabbos, who's with us for Shabbos? The Rashba, the Magen Mishnah, the whole major Mechlekes is Borer, Mamish Mutter or not. Borer, one of the exceptions. One of the exceptions to the exceptions. Wait, hold on, so let's see whether we have a problem altogether. So the question is, do we even have a problem? We have a box of matzahs, whole matzahs, broken matzahs, is that a problem altogether? So in Shulchan Aruch, we pass like Rabbeinu Chanan that even though both foods are edible, but if I want one and don't want the other, so that's still a problem. It still has to be bound by the rules of Beira. So there's Machlokes the Ramah and the Taz about what if it's min echad, what if I have... let's say I have 10 apples here. Some are big and some are little. They're all the same red, delicious apples. Some are bigger and some are smaller. So is that considered to be burger also? So the Ramah says, that's not called burger. It's the same thing. That's not called burger. It's hard to say that it's burger by beis minim when everything is oichel, but at least it has to be beis minim. It's minecha, there's nothing. The taz is machmir even on that. So there, the Kedalei Poskim, we're basically machmir against the taz. The minigol, the Mishnebura writes, is like the Ramah. As long as it's minecha, it's okay. Now you have a further shayla, a broken matzah, a whole matzah is considered to be min echad, or they consider it to be shnei minim. They taste the same. Does it taste the same? What's the difference? The only reason why they're different is that whole matzahs can be used for hamotzi, and the broken matzahs can't be. That's a halachic criteria. So can a halachic criteria make something into shnei minim or not? So we spent a lot of time talking about this. Tosis, Rabban, Bechaliva, we've spent a lot of time talking about this. About it could be that, according to some poskim, even halachic differences can create a status of beis minim. So if you go that far, again, a couple of chumras here, but it could be passed like all these chumras. But what would it then be? So you want to start to sort out your matzahs on Friday night. So if you hold that this is a problem of Beira, then you'd have to take Hilchos Beira into consideration, which would mean that you have to do it miyad viyad echmetech pselah. So how would you do that? So you have to do it with your hands. Okay, that's what you're doing. You'd have to do it samach l'seuda right before the meal. You couldn't set it up for an hour and a half from now. You have to do it right before the meal. Even though you're not going to get to the matzah until 3 hours from now, that's also called before the meal. That's what the poskim write. that you're allowed to do Bara Samach Masuda even if you're not eating just until dessert. That's all considered to be the Derech Hachana Masuda. That's called Derech Achila, not called Derech Malacha. But it has to be Oicha Mitach Pselis. You have to take the good from the bad. So here, when I open up the box of matzahs, I say the broken matzahs on top. So that's a problem. I want to take off the broken ones to get to the good ones. Isn't that Pselis Mitach Pselis? So the Mishnah Berurah, and those who remember from the Mishnah Berurah, Mishnah Berurah is a long Mishnah Torah, explained that when you have somebody that's not really Derech Karoves, it's really more of a pile, one on top of another, so taking off the top to get to the bottom, that's also considered to be like Eichel Mitzvahs. It's not really taking themselves with Eichel. So Mishnah Berurah would hold, in this case, if your matzahs are piled up, the broken ones on top, you can take off the broken ones to eventually get to the ones on the bottom. If it would have been a pile, it would be just total chaos, thrown together on the table, so then even the Mishnah Berurah would concede that that would be a problem. So a good idea this year, if you want to avoid any of these complications, you set up your matzahs before the meal, before you go to mincha. So you pick out your nice three good matzahs and put them on and set them up on the table. And for whatever reason you did, so then you have to just keep in mind some of the nuances of the chutzpah. So again, so the yisur b'alacha on Shabbos is very, very different than the yisur b'alacha on Yom Tov. Many, many more chumras to it.
Maybe it's even more, maybe once it's broken matzahs, it's
more
different.
More lechemoni, okay, I don't know. There's a machlokes the Rambam and the Rashbam. The Gemara says you have to have lechemoni on Pesach. The Gemara says you have to have a broken matzah. You have to have a prus al haseder. So the machlokes the Rambam and the Rashbam. What does that mean? So the Rambam says what that means is that you start off with two matzahs like any other lechem mishnah, and you break one of those matzahs. That's the kiyum of lechemoni. According to the Rambam, lechemoni redefines lechem mishnah. Means the type of lechem mishnah that you have to have on Pesach night has to be dafk derech lechemoni. That's the Rambam shita. And the Rashbam says no. The Rashbam says that there are two different mitzvahs. There's a mitzvah of lechem mishnah and there's a mitzvah of lechemoni. Lechem mishnah requires two shleimus and lechemoni requires a broken. So therefore, you have to start the seder with three matzahs and break one. Then you have two and a half matzahs. Two of them are the kiyum of lechem mishnah and the half matzahs are kiyum of lechemoni. So it's a conceptual machlokes according to the Rashbam. The two different mitzvahs, the two different kiyumim. One's a din of lechem oni, one's a lechem mishnah. You have to have both. According to Rambam, no, the lechem oni redefines lechem mishnah by the seder. It's interesting. Hashkafadik machlokes also what the role of lechem oni is. But at the end of the day, you need a broken matzah somewhere along the way. Right, so that's the further question. So why do you only break one according to Rambam? Why do you break both of them? Right. So that's another question. What's beyond that? Right. That's a different question. It's a good question. Both the Rambam and the Rishbam are assuming that Yom Tov requires Lechem Mishnah. The Gemara never says that. The Gemara never says that Yom Tov requires Lechem Mishnah. So that's Tosfos quotes the Beitza, and Machlokes is about that. Tosfos quotes two different Midrash. It's a historical Machlokes. Did the month fall on Yom Tov or not? Tosfos quotes one Midrash that says the month fell on Yom Tov, and the other Midrash says the month didn't fall on Yom Tov. If the month didn't fall on Yom Tov, then you needed Lechem Mishnah Erev Yom Tov. So then we would commemorate that and take a Lechem Mishnah. You hold like the matter that the month fell business as usual on Yom Tov. So then what do you have to have Lechem Mishnah on Yom Tov for? So Aminig is, like the first mention, Aminig is that we assume that the month did not fall on Yom Tov and therefore it fell double on Erev Yom Tov and therefore we have to fulfill Lechem Mishnah. What's the Nekudas of Machlokes? Why should we have said the halachic reason? Should the month yes a fall or not a fall? What's the issue? So it's a throwback to something that we spoke earlier this year. Why exactly didn't the month fall on Shabbos? What was the problem exactly? What was the Rosh Hashem not want us to do? Who remembers? We had a machlokes about this in the end of the first parak of the Erevin. What's the issue of going from Kaimai? Either Al Tzor or Al Tchumen. Right? Remember the Gemara quoted two possibilities. Machlokes Atanoim. Is that possibly referring to Al Tzor or Tchumen? So maybe that's the issue on Yom Tov. Because on Yom Tov, Al Tzor is mutter. You're allowed to cash for food on Yom Tov. You're not allowed to go chutz tchum on Yom Tov, even for food. The Achron Mr. Kasher, why can't you go out of tchum to get food? And the answer is because Echol Nefesh is mat the malachas. It's not mat the tchum. The tchum is a different issue. If you hold that the kavanas Torah of staying in the house, staying in your tent, and not going out, was to avoid a tzor problem, then there's no reason why not to fall on Yom Tov. But if you hold that the problem was out tchumim, so then it made a lot of sense that the man wouldn't fall on Yom Tov. So it could be that. Quote unquote, historic machlokes, the two midrashim in Tosfos and Beitza quotes, which results in two different possibilities. Whether you need lechem mishnah for Yom Tov is ultimately rooted in that same machlokes, namely, what exactly was the issue? What was the problem with the month falling on Shabbos in the first place? Do those reasons carry over? There are some who have a very, very fascinating suggestion that to resolve both of the midrashim, the man fall on Yad Vanat, so some Achmanim write that it fell for some people and didn't fall for other people. Why should it fall for you and not for me? So the Gemara says, the Chazal say that the man fell in different places for different people. For the big tzaddikim, so the man fell on the doorstep. The guy's sitting and learning all day, so why should you have to waste time collecting a man? So the Moshe says, put enough the mamash on the doorstep. With the Beinanim, so they weren't learning so much, so they had to travel a little bit to get the man for the Rishayim. They weren't doing anything productive anyway with the time, to keep them out of trouble, so he sent the man all the way to the end, Chutz Machaneh. We have to travel 12 mil and spent the whole day walking to collect the man. So that's the Moshe made the man fall in different places, different people. So that's true, so then it depends. So for the tzaddikim, there was no issue of tchumen. It was just a question of walking outside and putting the man in. For yontif, that's okay. So there's no reason why the man shouldn't fall for them on yontif. But for the rishayim, they were going to have to walk, the dust and the view, they're going to have to walk all the way out, chutz v'machaneh. So that would be an issue of tchumen on yontif. So for them, the man couldn't fall. So it turns out, if you follow that, so then, should I have lecha mishna on yontif? It depends how big a tzaddik you are. So if you're a big tzaddik and you think that the man would have fallen on your doorsteps, then you don't have to have lecha mishna. If you're a Rasha, tanu chumra. If you're a Rasha, all Rishayim have to have lecha mishna on yontif. Tzaddikim don't have to have lecha mishna on yontif. Very strange. Well, for a third and a face of third. Very, very strange. I remember, as once at a vort, many years before we married, somebody's vort, and the couple had been mamish neighbors. They didn't know each other, of course, all the years, you know, nobody knew, you know, everyone was there. But the mice, they were mamish, lived across the street from each other. So I remember Rabbi Willick spoke of the vort, and he said, it's mamish, like the bechin of the tzaddikim of the man, that the Rav Shalom sent the shidduch mamish on the doorstep. Mamish right there, and after matriya, have to go, we'll walk around and have to cross the street. So I remember thinking about a beautiful, nice shidduch, a beautiful idea. And then when I got engaged, my wife from California, so I didn't like the end of that mashal, so it made it sound like. Okay, good. All right. Anyway, getting back to our story. So we have the Issur Melacha on Shabbos, and then we have the Issur Melacha on Yontif, and there are many, many things that are also on Shabbos, of course, that are permissible on Yontif. When you have a day of Shabbos and Yontif together, like this year, so what exactly is the nature of the Kedushas Hayoyim? That's a big, big machlokes. When you have a dual Kedushas Hayoyim, 2 days that combine together, so you can understand in Lomdus in one of two ways. Either it's we have Shabbos, that was the Yontif. It's up to fall out on the same day this year, so you have two different Kedushas Hayoyim. But you say, no, whenever you have a dual Kedushas Hayoyim, it transforms to become a new, there's a new Chef, there's a new Chalois Kedushas Hayoyim. It's called Yontif Shechalos B'Shabbos. That's the new, that's the name of the game. Yontif Shechalos B'Shabbos. B'chora, Chazal always use the phrase Yontif Shechalos B'Shabbos, B'Shashon Shechalos B'Shabbos, Erepei Shechalos B'Shabbos. We don't say Shabbos Shechalios B'Yontif. Why don't we say Shabbos Shechalios B'Yontif? So the Chor for two reasons. First of all, the grammar is incorrect, because Shabbos is Shechalos, Lashon Nekeva. But for a more important reason, the word Chal, Chor has a certain connotation, it happens to be, because it falls out on Shabbos. Yontif Shechalios B'Shabbos. Shabbos is not Chal at any time. Shabbos is set in stone. Shabbos is set from Shesh Mei Breishis. I know exactly when Shabbos is going to be Yontif. Your guess is as good as mine. Whenever the Edom come, Kaddish Techaydish, that's when Yontif. So Yontif is something that's being superimposed on Shabbos, not vice versa. That's the Pashat Advarim. So there's one Gemara that it doesn't say it. There's one place that the Gemara says Shabbos Chalios B'Yontif. So I always thought, as like I said, the Devil Pashat, that 99% of the time, Chazal never used that phrase because it's wrong halachically and grammatically. But after some month, in one place, the Gemara Beitza, Taka does use the other way around. Maybe it's a Tos and Giz, I don't know. But the Gemara does have the Lashon of Shabbos Chalos B'Yontif in one place. But whatever it is, for Yontif Chalos B'Shabbos, so is it one Kedushas Hayom or is it two Kedushas Hayom? Am I Nafkamina? Who cares? So the Gemara says in Maseches Vachim, the Chaps and Nafkamina in Huchas Kabanos, in a very, very detailed din of Huchas Kabanos, there's a din when you bring, when you have two Kabanos to bring in front of you, which one has Kedima? So the parak in Maseches Vachim called Tod Bechaveiroi. That's the whole sug of Tadr Shin and Tadr Tadr Kaidim. Whichever carbon is more regular takes precedence in terms of coming before the less regular one. And then there's another rule in the Hukkos Kabbalah called Kol Mekudesh Bechaveiro, Kol Mechaveiro. If you have two Kabbalahs that are equally equal timing, one is a higher level Kedusha, one's a Kashim Kachim, one's a Kashim Kalim, etc. So then the more Kaddish carbon comes before the less Kaddish carbon. The Gemara is a shadow. What's the din if you have Tadr and Mekudesh? What if you have one carbon's Tadr and one carbon is Mekudesh? Which one comes first? So the Gemara spends two blocks to try to figure it out. The Gemara never answers the question. The whole parak is called Kolat Tadir. 99% of the parak is dedicated to this one problem, to which the Gemara never is pushing. So what's the din? So in the middle of that Shachmatai in the Gemara quotes the following din. The Mishnah says, that when you have a Shabbos and Yontif in the same day, so you have to bring the Musaf of Shabbos and you have to bring the Musaf of Yontif. So the Mishnah says that you bring the Shabbos Musaf first. You're not davening. You say the Shabbos Pesukim first, then you say, then you speak about the Yontif Pesukim. Musaf Yom Shabbos is there, Yom Chagamas is there, etc. Why do you bring the Shabbos before the Yontif? So Gemara says, isn't the Yontif Musaf more Kaddish than the Shabbos is Musaf? Why is Yontif Musaf more Kaddish than Shabbos is Musaf? So Rashi quotes two reasons. One reason is because Yontif Musaf has something that Shabbos Musaf doesn't have, namely, it has a Sarah L'chatas. On Shabbos you don't bring a Korban Chatas, but on Yontif you do. So it's the Siri HaRegolim, the Mechaper of Tumas HaMikdash, that somehow elevates the Yontif Tikkun Musaf to a higher level. Well, the Oyd Yishlema, Yontif Musaf is more Kaddish, why? Because it's a bunch of more animals. Shabbos is Shnei Chavasim, Yontif is part of Eilu, it's so much more important. So in the hierarchy of Kedusha, strangely enough, the Musaf of Yontif is a more Chashver Musaf than the Musaf of Shabbos. The Gemara says, aye, so how come you're bringing the Korban Musaf first of Shabbos? Isn't that a raya that Todr beats out Makudosh? That's the Gemara's raya. So the fact that Shabbos precedes Yontif, notwithstanding the fact that Yontif is more Kaddish than Shabbos, Zem Fendoy, see from here, that Todr is more important than Makudosh. So the Gemara says, no, it's not a raya, because even though a regular Shabbos Musaf is not so Kaddish, but when Shabbos and Yontif fall out together, so then the Kedusha so Yontif, the Din Musaf of Yontif, swallows up the Musaf of Shabbos, and it's Chal on the Musaf of Shabbos, a Yontif take a carbon. A Svar level deraisa, that a regular Musaf Shabbos is not so holy, but when it's brought on a Yontif, so the Yontif somehow takes over, and even the Shabbos Musaf is Kaddish but Kedusha's Yontif. So now you have two Yontif Kabbalas. You have the Shabbos slash Yontif Karban, and you have the Yontif slash Karban. In terms of Kedusha, now they're equal. So which comes first? The Tadr comes first. The Gemara says there's no raya from the Kedim of Shabbos to Yontif. The Tadr beats out Makudosh because the Shabbos becomes Kaddish also.
But
those stringencies apply. There's one day in the Gemara, we probably don't even pass like that one. One day in the Yidim says Beitz, it says that Chazal threw a couple of chumers at you on Yontif to keep you in Shech on Yontif. I don't remember what the name would be, if you have Yontif Mishan, I don't remember. According to that day, it may be hard to track because we may not pass like that day. Some Mishan pass like that day. I don't remember. So the Yosemeach discovered this Gemara Masechet Zvachim, and he said, this Gemara is telling you something fundamental about when you have two Kedushas Hayoyim together. Two Kedushas Hayoyim are not two separate Kedushas Hayoyim, but it merges together. It's one new Kedushas Hayoyim called Shabbos Chalayos, Yontif, Yontif Shabbos. It's considered to be one new Chaloshem of Kedushas Hayoyim. So, Ma'naf Kamina Ladina for us. At the end of the day, we're not bringing Kabbalah, it's anyway, Ma'naf Kamina. So I thought it's enough Kamina when the Chazan Davins, when the Davin Musaf, so a lot of the Chazanim like to switch the Nigin in the middle. And when they get to the Yom HaShabbos, so they'll switch back to Shabbos Nigin, and then they get to the Yontif, they'll switch back to Yontif Nigin. So according to this Gemara and Zvachim, that's Shadin, because it's not a Shabbos Musaf, it's a Yontif Nigin Musaf. You're lowering the Musaf. By switching to the Shabbos Nigin, you're lowering the Kedushas HaMusaf. It's not a real Nafkamina, it's just an interesting idea. But there is the Chor, a real Nafkamina. What would be the Din, let's say, if a person Davin Musaf, and he davened the regular Shabbos Tikkun Musaf. He forgot that it was Yontif. He davened the regular Musaf for Shabbos, and then he realized, Gevalda, I forgot to daven Shabbos. So he goes and he davened the regular Yontif Musaf, and he doesn't say Shabbos in the second Musaf. So he davened the Shabbos, and he davened the Yontif, but he never ever davened the Shabbos Yontif Musaf. So would he be Yotze even with the Yevet? So according to this Or Sameach, it sounds like he may not be Yotze. You can't just add up the pieces and say, well, I got Shabbos, I got Yontif, 2 and 2 equals 4. No, 2 and 2 doesn't equal 4. 2 and 2 is still 2, you get 3, 3 and a half. You didn't get what you really need, namely Shabbos and Yontif. So I had this Shilas come up in 3 times, I know in history, 3 times the Shilas came up, but not Shabbos and Yontif, it became Shabbos and Rosh Chodesh. Same basic Shilas. I may have mentioned it earlier in the year. It's a Shabbos Rosh Chodesh Shilas. If a person daven Musaf on Shabbos Rosh Chodesh, they daven the Shabbos, they forgot to say Rosh Chodesh, or they daven Rosh Chodesh on Shabbos, when they repeat, or should they repeat, how does that play out? So the Shilas happened 3 times in history, so that I know. So one is Rav Moshe Feinstein writes a tshuva about this, and it happened in Luban. Luban was a city in Russia, he was in Russia. So he said that there was a Shabbos Rosh Chodesh, and they were in the middle of about to start davening Musaf, and the communists barged into the shul and arrested somebody. So they took him out for interrogation. So the guy was standing in the communist jail for the whole day. So he knew It was Shabbos Hashchodesh, but he didn't know how to yitzar it be'al peh. He never said it, but he knew to cut the Shabbos be'al peh. So he'll do whatever he can. So he daven the regular Shabbos, take a musaf. Then they let him out a few hours later as they came back home. So he came knocking on Rabbi Moshe's door. What should he do now? So should he daven a Shabbos for Hashchodesh, or should he just daven Hashchodesh? Rabbi Moshe writes, he thinks it's better just to daven Hashchodesh. Because you already be yetzi Muslim Shabbos, now you be yetzi Muslim Hashchodesh. You put two together. So we told him to daven in Rosh Chodesh and Lem Chanasata on a Shabbos, and just to be chayisim mekadosh as well for Rosh Chodesh. Nothing mekadosh a Shabbos. The Shabbos part you already yetzi. That's a Rav Moshe passed in his days. So many disagree with that. But that was Rav Moshe's. That happened one time Rav Moshe. So then it happened again this past year on Shabbos Rosh Chodesh Chanukah. Somebody called me. After it happened, they asked me, someone from London called me, they asked me what I thought about that Shaila. So I told them, and the third time, it just happened now. It just happened last week. It happened in my shul. One of my kids, they forgot to say Atayatat. They said Rosh Chodeshim. So they wanted to know. They said Rosh Chodeshim. Should they now daven just a regular Shabbos Musaf? So even though Ramesha said you can split up the tefillahs, I thought many poskim don't hold like that. So you have nothing to lose by davening a full-fledged, dual Musaf again, even if Rav Moshe has nothing to lose by that. But Rav Moshe did have that chiddush almost against the Sosa Mech Shtetl Torah, that the Shabbos and Yontov, Shabbos and Chiddush, have to separate the two different compartments. So again, so we have a little bit about Malacha and Erev Pesach, a little bit about Yontov, a little bit about Shabbos, we move on to Chol HaMoed. So Malachas Chol HaMoed, as I mentioned before, is a really, really big, complex sugya, because there are so many seemingly contradictory principles that play out in Malachas Chol HaMoed. Then on the one hand, we have a whole masecht about the things you're not allowed to do on Chol HaMoed. On the other hand, every time you turn, there's always some kind of a heter. Dabar Oved, Tzach HaYom, Mitzvah Sehedyel, Tzach HaRabim. Every place in the Gemara, there's another kula. So how do you make sense of this? There was a machlekes to Rashbam and Rabbeinu Tam, what to do with this phenomena. So Rabbeinu Tam threw his hands up and he said, the fact that there are so many exceptions to the rule to show that this is not a din deraisa. It cannot possibly be a din deraisa. Din deraisa don't work like this. Din deraisa are very, very exact. See the black and white. It's not gray, not in the middle. So therefore, all of Malachas Chol HaMoed is all midrabbanan. Why did Chazal institute it midrabbanan? The stomach to encourage people to do the simcha, to learn, to do positive things, bring the kabbanas, to do important things in Chol HaMoed. You shouldn't spend the whole day working in the office. But the Rashbam, Rabbeinu Tam's older brother, said no. The Rashbam said that he thinks that it's Mamash Adin Midaraisa. He comments in Maseches Pesachim, and the Gemara says, on the Pasuk, Elohim HaSecholo HaSecholach, as Chag HaMalchus Tishmur, two Pesukim next to each other. The Gemara says, Kol Mevazah Samoyados, Kilo Ovid Avedah Zarah. The Rashbam asks, what do you mean Mevazah Samoyados? What do you mean doing Malach on Yom Tov? That's not a Kilo Ovid Avedah Zarah. That's a Malchus Deraisa. But everything Gemara says Kilo, that means it's not really, really, but it's almost like. So it's if it's really awesome in the Raisa, so then you wouldn't use the Lashon Kilo Ovid Avedah Zarah. So the Rashbam says, the Gemara is talking about Chol HaMoed. So the Chiddush of the Gemara is that this pasuk is megalot to me, don't think Chol HaMoed lightly. It's even, if it is a deraisa, it's a very, very low level of deraisa, but it's serious enough to Kilo Ovid Avedah Zarah. So the Rashbam disagreed with his brother. He held that Malachas Chol HaMoed is fundamentally deraisa. So how do you explain away this phenomenon that every other time something's mutter? That's what many of the Rishonim invoke a principle called Mamasar Chasim El Lechachamim. Right? We usually think that there are Yisurim Deraisa and Yisurim Derabon, and then there are certain things in the middle that are called Mamasar Chasim Chachamim. I mean, when it came to Shabbos, and the Baruch Shalom told Moshe Rabbeinu, you're not allowed to do Malacha, and the definition of Malacha is Malacha HaMishkan, the following 39 things. On Yom Tov, Kom Malacha Zavid L'Sasu, Malacha means the Malacha HaMishkan minus the Echol Nefesh Malachas. And Chol HaMoed, the day Yisr was, it doesn't say L'Sasu Malacha on Chol HaMoed. It says, Chol HaMoed is supposed to be a Yom of Chagiga, it's supposed to be a Mikra Kodesh, means that Baruch Shalom told Moshe Rabbeinu, it's supposed to be a special day. Chol HaMoed has to look different from the rest of the year. It can't be business as usual. It has to appear different. How it's going to appear different, what's considered to be an appropriate way to demarcate Chol HaMoed is different. You decide. Whatever the Beis Din HaGadol decides, that becomes the fulfillment of Mikra Kodesh. So is that a deraisa? Yeah. But does it leave us up to very, very, gray categories? Also, yeah. Because it's not the Rebbeinu Shlom who's calling the categories. It's Kadosh Baruch Hu gave it over to the Chachamim to define what the categories are. But once Chazal set up these categories, then anyone who doesn't fulfill these categories is in violation of the Mitzvah Torah of treating Chol HaMoed as a Mikra Kodesh. So that's what many Mishnayim hold, that Chol HaMoed is a chashash of a deraisa. Some Mishnayim say Melech Chol HaMoed is only midirabana, and other Mishnayim say no, Melech Chol HaMoed may be a real bona fide deraisa. There are certain things that one is permitted to do on Chol HaMoed. The most famous category is Davra Ovid. That's the first mission of my Katan. It says that Davra Ovid is permissible. Why is Davra Ovid permissible? Why do Chazal permit Davra Ovid? So we usually think that Davra Ovid is mutter because the Mishnah have said Mamam. Chazal didn't want people to lose so much money, so they gave you a break. So there's a Ritva in Maseches Mekan, which is not why Davra Ovid is mutter. Davra Ovid mutter is the purpose of Chazal Mayim is to preserve the Simcha Sayyim, to create a day as a special Yom of Simcha, a special day of Yom Tif. So if a person's going to get anything that's going to interfere with his observance of Yom Tif, the mail is going to be permissible. So why are you allowed to do Tzorchei Ayom? Because if you tell a person he can't do Tzorchei Ayom, you tell a guy he can't drive to Shul on Chol HaMoed. So he's going to be very uncomfortable, he's going to schlepping, it's hard to walk to Shul on Yom Tif, but what can you do? If you tell a guy he can't drive to Shul on Chol HaMoed, tell a person he can't turn the lights on Chol HaMoed, tell a person that he can't do things with Tzorchei Ayom, so that's going to detract from the Simcha Sayyim, that's going to accomplish the opposite purpose. So too, says the Ritva, if you tell a guy that he has to sit idly and watch his whole business collapse, watch his whole field go under, so that's going to stare his Simchas Yom Tov. So that's going to be a psychological Tzorech HaYom. So the Ma'atir of Davar Oved is also rooted in Tzorech HaYom. Whatever enhances the Yom Tov is always going to be Mutter. But not all enhancements are Mutter. Even within Tzorech HaYom, there are differences. So let's say if you have something that's Tzorech HaYom, but it happens to be a Ma'isa Uman, it's something that needs a professional to do it, so that's a problem. If it's Echol Nefesh or Tzorech HaGuf, things like that, so even Ma'isa Uman is Mutter. But if it's just a Tzorech HaYom, so you want to get a suit tailored or something, so that's a problem. You can't get your suit tailored on Chol HaMoed, even though I need the suit for the last days. That's a nice umam, so that would be a problem. If I need something that's food oriented, I need someone to bake me a very, very fancy cake, most people don't know how to do, so that would be okay. That's Tzorech Echol Nefesh, that would be permissible. So Tzorech HaYom, not all Tzorech HaYom are mutter. Tzorech HaYom for Echol Nefesh are totally mutter. Tzorech HaYom for non Echol Nefesh, the Ma'aseh Hedjah would be mutter, the Ma'aseh Uman would be asur. If it's a Davar Ovid, then Davar Ovid is also mutter. The only thing is that you have to be careful not to plan a Davar Ovid. That's what's called Mechavim Alachta B'mayim. So the Mishnah says in my Katan that, let's say, I know that my field tends to flood. I can take care of it now, or I can push it off for later. So the guy figures, listen, I'm busy right now, I have other things I'm doing right now. I'll take care of it. Hold on, I got a lot of time on my hands. You're not allowed to plan a Davar Ovid. So when a Davar Ovid happens, it happens, but you're not supposed to plan it. Okay, any last questions just about Malacha?
Test.
So you shouldn't write. You should study without doing any malachas. You're allowed to. You can look at a computer screen. Yeah, computer is probably not. According to some, is not a real malacha for these purposes. You shouldn't try not to write. Try not to write. Try not to print. Try not to do those kinds of things. Unless you, let's say it's a type of a test. If you fail the test, it's going to be a big davar ovid. You're going to have to take the course over again. You have to. You'll be able to learn next semester. So that's like a cool davar ovid. Let's say a person is taking MCATs or something. I don't know. So if he doesn't pass, he's going to have to take a whole other course next year. He's going to have to spend another $1,000 on the course or something. That's a different story. That could be a potential Davar Ovid also. But it's just a question of, I'll get an 85 instead of a 90. It's not going to make me major dent in anything. So then that's not a Davar Ovid. What? Yeah, there are some poskim who say that the Yisra Malacha Chol HaMoed doesn't apply to very, very simple kinds of malachas that don't involve any tichel whatsoever. So according to that, computer screens would be okay. So I tell people, those people who are stuck, who have to, quote unquote, work with Chol HaMoed, I tell them to do things on the computer. It's the only time I ever tell people to go on the computer rather than to write. Writing the Vitara, it's also the Davar Ovid. Let's say somebody, you heard a great shiur on Yom Tov, if you want to write it down, if you're going to forget it, that's called the Davar Ovid. That would be okay. Any last things? I'll say just a little bit of a chizuk, a little bit of a Cyrus before we go for Yom Tov. So we spent a lot of time today talking about Malacha. And the truth is that all of Malacha is really rooted in one word in the Chumash, the word Shomer. Shamor Shom Shabbos Akafio. The Ramban writes in his parish in Pashas Yisro, and it says Dibros, that Shamor refers, unlike Zohar, which refers to the mitzvah's essay, Shamor refers primarily to the mitzvah's los essay. So the term Shamor in the context of Malacha, or Shamor in the context of Yisurim, all los essays ultimately are rooted in Shamor, the Ramban writes. So the term Shamor really appears, considering the Yom Tov Pesach, in many, many different places. just the very celebration of the calendar, the setup of the calendar, Shomer's Chodesh Aviv, the Torah uses the lashon of Shmira to make sure that, that's why we had a Shana Beberes, that's why we have Pesach rolling almost a lay, because it has to be Derech Shmira, it has to be Shomer's Chodesh Aviv. We find Shmira by the matzahs, of course, the Shmira, it's matzahs, and Shmur matzahs, you know what that means. Then we have a din of Shmira Melacha, and the Torah says in many places, in Parshas Bo, in the Pesukim concerning Korban Pesach, Ushmarta Masadobra Zeh, you have to Ushmarta Sechuka Zeista Bo'ada. The Torah constantly is referring to Pesach as an extra time of Shmira. Perhaps it's not surprising that because so much emphasis is made on the term to be Shomer, that's the reason why we find so many Chumras in Anuchos Pesach, above and beyond the rest of the year, as we spoke a lot about yesterday. Many of the Dinim Machol Sasuros, both the Raisi and the Rabbana potentially, are different in the realm of Pesach than the other rest of the year. And the reason is that Pesach is a particular time of Shemira. The Ran has this famous comment we mentioned, but that's why you have Bayer Rav Emotzi. It's a Shemira, it's a Siyag. So there's one great Siyag out there. It's the greatest Siyag, it's the greatest Shemira than everything else. The greatest Shemira, the Rambam writes in the end of Hilchos Yisroel Biyah, the greatest possible Shemira from Averos is Limud HaTorah. That Limud HaTorah is the Siyag par excellence from everything that surrounds us. The Gemara says, Barasi Yetzor, Barasi Torah Tavlin. The Talmud Torah is such a good medicine that it's the only thing that can truly prevent the person from getting sick. And if a person got sick, Kani Hashem Rafecha. The Limud HaTorah can help a person well. So I think it's a really, really special time as we enter into the period of Ben Hazmanim. In the Baruch Shem and Ayashiv, we are very, very sure of Ben Hazmanim. We're very makel in Ben Hazmanim. We're so frum, so makel on Talmud Torah. We're so careful. Because even the short Ben Hazmanim, we still got a good week and a half to come back to Yeshiva. So these are days not to waste away. It's about tashchis. It's ain't about tashchis. God mizeh of a younger Pesach to waste on foolishness, to waste on silliness. A little bit of Simchas Yontif is good. Okay, a little bit of Simchas Yontif, And Simchas Yontif has to be in check with everything else. It's one of the mitzvot sayayim. But lo nitnu chal yom tov liyisrael alasik b'toyra. Yerushalmi says that Amar Rabbi Abba says to Yerushalmi, if it would be up to him, he would have been mevatel the yisim alachar chal amayim. Why? He would have told everybody to go back to work in chal amayim. Why? So Yerushalmi says, because Rabbi Shalom wanted that people should be off from work, they should be oichel v'sheisim, smeichim, oiskim b'toyra, and ruchlias, and hal, and shmiras, shiras, v'tishbachas, and groan, and v'tis Hashem. That was the goal of chal amayim. What do people do? Eichlem, Shaisim, and then go to the beach, whatever else they're doing in Chol HaMoed. So Rabbi Abba says, for that you need Chol HaMoed. For that you need Pesach. Go on vacation in July, go on vacation. What do you need a vacation on Pesach for? Pesach is Eimlecha ben Chol HaMoed, Torah. So wherever a person finds himself in the next couple of weeks, next couple of week and a half, whether a person finds themselves at home, whether they find themselves in other locations, wherever they are, whether they are there, they're not there, wherever they are, so find for yourselves a little corner. You should be, sometimes when Yeshiva Bachar comes and I'll ask him, how was Yontif, where were you? So he'll say to me, I had to go to Mokum Plenty, my parents, my grandparents, and him. And I'm telling you, I mama sat in the Bais Medrash the entire week. Even don't tell us about the Midrashas. No matter where you are, find the Bais Medrash. Sit the whole day. If you sit the whole day in the Bais Medrash, they'll tell. Tov Aleichem Rachi. You'll experience Azaz, Man Chiruseinu, Shein Kabayo. You get hungry a little bit. If you get tea rooms, you go find a little tea. You find some tea in your 24-hour tea room once in a while. But if the whole Yontif is in the tea room, the whole Yontif is on the beach. So wherever you are, home with your home or away game, wherever you are, find the Makom Kedusha, find the Beis Medrash, find the Shul, find the that's where you should be spending your time. That's what Kadosh Baruch Hu took us out of Mitzrayim for that. He didn't take us out of Mitzrayim for other reasons. So that's Ein Lecha Ben Chorin on Mishas B'Torah. Everyone should have an uplifting and inspirational, wonderful, wonderful Yontif, and come back for the strong Zman following Yontif. Yeah, 4 days this year, I think. Following Yontif, I think we're going to return off. Before I say, come on. If I'm not mistaken,